And our last headline, though certainly not the least, Republican presidential candidates held their first debate last night. The 10 contenders went 12 rounds at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California. For a breakdown, we are joined now by Robert George, an editorial page writer for The New York Post. He was also a senior writer for former House Speaker Newt Gingrich from 1995 to 1998. Nice to have you on, Robert.
Good to be here, Tony, and I'm so glad I can now wear Tommy Hilfiger clothes.
Don't you feel better about that?
Absolutely.
And Melissa Harris Lacewell, Associate Professor of Politics and African American Studies at Princeton University. Melissa, nice to have you with us again.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Let's begin with this. The consensus seems to be in all the media the day after the debate is that no one separated himself from the pack either way, meaning no one gained an advantage and no one fell to the wayside. Who, if anyone, do you think may have stood out? Let's start with you, Melissa.
Well, I disagree. I think Mitt Romney actually demonstrated a great deal of sort of presidential poise. He was warm. He was open. He was not defensive. He actually did extremely well. He also had the best hair of the night by far and was visibly taller than all the other candidates on the New York Times front page this morning, which is actually extremely important for winning the nomination. And I think that Giuliani, in fact, distinguished himself in the sense of very clearly developing a different narrative about a woman's right to choose than all of the rest of the candidates. Now, whether that turns out to be good or bad for him in the long term, I don't think we absolutely know, but there's no question he was distinguished from the other candidates in that sense.
How do you see it, Robert?
Well, that's for sure. He certainly did distinguish himself, and I don't necessarily think it was in a good way either. I think the real problem that Giuliani had is it's not just the fact that he's pro-choice, it's just that particularly in the last few weeks, he has been all over the map in trying to describe exactly what kind of pro-choice he is. I mean, yesterday he kept on saying that he was supporting of the Hyde Amendment, which bans government funding of abortions. Yet, when asked about it 2 or 3 weeks ago, he said that he supported funding of abortions. So that was problematic. And it was also when they just asked the question, you know, should Roe v. Wade be overturned? Everybody on the panel basically said yes, it should be. Even Jim Gilmore, who is kind of functionally pro-choice, though he supported restrictions here and there, he said Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided. And Giuliani's had almost this kind of a glib response. Would it be a good thing? Well, it may be. Yeah, it would be okay. And I think the key is it's not necessarily where he stands on the issue. It's that I think a lot of Republicans are worried that he doesn't really care about the issue one way or the other.
Let's talk about issues a little bit further, because Iraq clearly was the top issue of the day, but abortion, immigration, religion, tax reform, race relations all came up and were touched upon during the debate. But it seems to me, and I'd like to get your thoughts on it, that the war and the president's performance remain one of the big problematic areas for GOP contenders because, number one, they have to appease the party faithful to get the nomination, and then they have to try to appease an angry electorate to win the White House. An example is this clip from John McCain.
Now I think it's on the right track. The war was terribly mismanaged. The war was terribly mismanaged, and we now have to fix a lot of the mistakes that were made. Books have been written, but we have a new strategy and a new general. And these young men and women are committed to winning.
So, Melissa, is he managing the balancing act okay, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think McCain is. I think, again, if anyone also distinguished himself, it was that McCain distinguished that he's past his capacity to win the American presidency. But that said, I think that the strategy of the night on the question of Iraq was very clear. And the strategy was, whenever you are asked a question, frame it first by talking about Reagan. And let's pretend that Reagan was our most recent Republican president rather than George W. Bush. And it really wasn't until the very end when they were required to answer a question about the current president that these candidates wanted to deal with it. And in fact, Romney, when asked, you know, who would you keep from W's administration, said, oh, no one. You know, we'd have a clean slate. So they're all moving away from George W. Bush. They're all instead trying to lay hold to the Reagan legacy, whatever that legacy in its new revisionist history may be. But that, rather than really coping with the question of the war, they're just trying to ignore it and go back to a different time in GOP politics.
Go ahead, Robert.
Well, when I was hearing everybody mention Ronald Reagan, and admittedly it was in the Reagan Library, so that's some of that is understandable. But when you heard it mentioned over and over again, I was reminded of that old In Living Color skit, which showcases the Black Beauty pageant, where all the contestants talk about Martin Luther King.
Let me stop you there, because I want to play a clip from this for people who may not have had a chance to hear it, and I have a question for the both of you about invoking the name of Ronald Reagan again and again and again. Here it is.
Ronald Reagan was a president of strength. His philosophy was a philosophy of strength.
Because I believe in the Ronald Reagan principle that somebody that's with you 80% of the time is not your enemy.
I think it's important to remember that what Ronald Reagan did was to give us a vision for this country, a morning in America.
Ronald Reagan used to say we spend money like a drunken sailor. I never knew a sailor drunk or sober.
Those are the things that Ronald Reagan taught us. You lead from optimism. You lead from hope. And we should never retreat in the face of terrorism.
All right, so Robert, here's my question to you. If Ronald Reagan himself was watching this debate, was he smiling or turning over in his grave?
I think he would be a little bit disappointed in that he would say, well, there they go again, mentioning my name over and over again. What he would say, I believe he would say that a Republican has to know what he stands for, knows what the party stands for, and then articulate those principles in the context of a vision for the country. So, too many, I think, of them were doing by invoking his name. It looked more like they were looking backwards in trying to get an inspired sense of what the man himself would do moving forward. Whereas Ronald Reagan was always, looking ahead. I mean, yes, he would mention lines from his movies and things like that. But it was very much, I think, a forward looking. He would mention the fact that he had been an FDR Democrat growing up and so forth, mm-hmm. but he never seemed kind of trapped by the politicians that had come before him while he was carving out a vision of his own.
Let's step in with one last question. We have about a minute or so. Every race, Melissa, has spoilers. Republicans, Duncan Hunter, Tom Tancredo, did they play that role, and did they play it well?
No, I mean, really, this is just the fun time in American politics for those of us who are pundits and observers, because the people who really don't have a chance to win are still in the race right now, and they're fun to watch because they say outrageous things that the real candidates can't say. And that's nice for pushing the arguments and allowing Americans to kind of think really broadly about the big issues, but they're not playing there's no likelihood in the Republican primaries that anyone except sort of the top two or three people have any chance of winning this nomination.
In 10 seconds, let me just say, our time has run out. Do you like the format? It seemed to me it was a little hard to follow in places. Yes or no, Robert?
I thought it was a rather bad format, and I thought Chris Matthews was not fair in giving equal time to a number of the people.
I don't have time to go any farther into it. Melissa, what do you say? Yes or no?
I despised it. I thought it was really bad. It made us look like we're running some kind of bizarre pageantry of a democracy rather than an actual democracy.
All right, I appreciate it. Sorry to rush you out of there, but our time is up. Robert George, Melissa Harris-Lacewell, thank you very much. We appreciate the information.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.